Welcome in to another episode of the Huskers Radio Network podcast. I'm Jessica Cootie, and a very special guest joining us on today's episode is we have Haven Fields, the new Deputy Athletic Director and Chief Operating Officer for Nebraska Athletics. New to Lincoln, but welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Jess. It's been an honor over the last month or so being here in Lincoln and being able to integrate myself into the community, the institution, and I'm just really excited.
Has it been a whirlwind, I gotta imagine?
Yeah, you know, as I share my story, or let's just say my professional travels here over the last couple of months have been really interesting, probably for most, if I provided, you know, some thoughts on where I've been and what I've been doing, so.
Well, let's start with you know, working with Troy Dannon. You're with him at Washington, and then when the call comes for you to come here and join him here, how that conversation went and why you thought, okay, this could be a good spot for me.
Well, you know, I have the utmost respect for Troy, a lot of admiration, just watching him as a leader. We've known each other for 7 years or so now, met at a symposium, kept in contact, and you know, that's the big part of our business, you know, just building relationships, genuine relationships. And so during that transition, it was just a conversation about what was next, for, you know, for him and how he saw me as a part of Nebraska as being in the role I'm in today. And I'm very humbled by that. And it was just a conversation. And then I had the chance to come visit. It's like, taking an official visit like I did years ago as a prospective student athlete. And it was everything I thought it would be. I shared earlier with you, there are some similarities in this city and to my alma mater at Auburn. Lincoln's certainly a lot bigger, but I knew when I sat down and talked to some people, when I got a feel for the community, that it would certainly fit me and not only me as well as my family. So it was a no-brainer. I know the passion, the pride, the expectations of a place like this, so I'm glad to be a part of it.
I do want to dive into your backstory and what led you to athletics administration, but while we're talking about Troy Dannon and his leadership, what is it that makes you believe in that and that you wanted to serve with him and help him lead this department?
Yeah, he's extremely honest. You're going to get the cold hard truth of him. No black and white, you know, really transparent. He's certainly, you know, someone that leads by example, more of an action type of a leader. And I thought with my servant leadership that would serve the department well, which was another reason why I thought it would make sense to be here. But knowing that I've also got someone who is obviously going to do everything they can to move a department forward. They're going to have their teammates' backs. He's going to lead a department. He's going to be very honest and open with our coaches, our staff. And those things are important to me. And he's going to push people. He's going to make sure that we're doing things in a way that's right. And with the ever-changing landscape of athletics, you've got to have a leader that's forward-thinking. And that's certainly him and putting in people in position to make sure that we're able to operate in a way where it's still going to serve the student athlete at the highest level. Those are all the things that Troy are about. And again, we have a lot of fun together. And so it's been really good to spend time with him. And we've aligned, as I said earlier, we didn't work together, but our alignment and what we believed in around what college athletics is has led us to Lincoln together.
Absolutely, that's cool. Well, you mentioned you're a student athlete, you're a linebacker at Auburn. Take me through just, you know, once you're playing, you're an athlete, what sparked your interest in maybe getting into athletic administration?
Well, there's a funny story behind that. A kid out of Miami, Florida, going to Auburn, Alabama. I had thoughts and maybe some goals about, you know, in my head about being a physical therapist, Jess. And that, once I saw the curriculum, I saw what was going to be required of me as a football player, a student athlete. I thought, well, maybe that might be a bit much early on as an 18-year-old, but I did get into kinesiology. I know that was another path to maybe get into rehabilitation services. And so I thought to myself, there's still a chance that I go to physical therapy school. But like every young man playing the game of football, you think about the next level. I had a very short career in the NFL. It meant not for long for me. Carolina Panthers, very brief. At the time, Coach George Seifert, the late, great Sam Mills, was my linebacker coach, Hall of Famer. But it was a short stint. And after I got out of playing football a couple years in the Canadian League, I decided to go back to Auburn and get into graduate school. And I love to tell the story of my first job in college athletics, being delivering mail and making coffee for about 8 months every morning. That was my job as a graduate assistant working in compliance and event management. I knew I would get into athletics. The one thing I knew, Jess, is that I did not want to coach. And it was very clear to me that there would be other paths. Didn't know what it was. I had a smile. People said I like to talk. And then that kind of led me to the development space. And that was my way in. I got in and I fell in love with connecting with alums and donors and people who wanted to support the institution in athletics, the higher education, academia. And so it became something that for me that was just the niche that I knew was going to allow me to be able to be involved in college athletics for some time. And here I am 20 years later, still in the industry.
You still make a good pot of coffee, I'm assuming?
Yeah, and at that time, I didn't even drink it. I did not drink it at that time, but it was, you know, my goal was to make the best pot of coffee I could every morning, so it was great.
Oh, I love that. So once you get into the development and then you start maybe, okay, I can move up in this, I guess, what led you to want to be in more of the leadership role of an athletics department?
Yeah, you know, over time, you know, it's easy to be in one entity of athletics, and sometimes you get labeled. I knew that I would probably do a really good job on the fundraising side, but there was so much more. This was 2004, 2005, so things were completely different than they are here in 2024. It became clear to me that there were other areas that I would want to have a chance to work in. And so when I left Auburn, I went to the University of South Alabama, having the chance to help start a Division I FBS football program, and that kind of led me down the path that there's so much more for me. I am really thankful to to Joe Godfrey. His son, Mark Godfrey, longtime basketball coach, Joe was just everything I could ask for as someone starting in the industry and getting on the administrative side, helping start a program. He held my hand for a while and allowed me to do everything that I wanted to. I ask a lot of questions, sitting meetings that I probably shouldn't have been in. And it was just the start of what I knew would be a long career, and having the chance to shift. Was always involved in the development piece. I love people. I love process. So it drove me to continue to be involved in development, but also having the chance to explore other areas that have led to me sitting in this role again, which I'm very humble for.
You know, you just told a story that I was actually going to ask you. So who are some of the people that maybe inspired you as leaders and maybe led to help you shape into the leader that you became?
Yeah, thank you so much for asking. I mentioned Joe Godfrey, a longtime AD, Jay Jacobs at Auburn, Kay Hargrave, who I'm thankful for, that got me involved in the development space. Dr. Joel Urban, who enhanced my role at South Alabama after Joe Godfrey retired. I'm really thankful for current director of athletics at the University of Illinois, Josh Whitman. His chief development officer is like a brother and a friend of mine, and a great mentor, Howard Milton. Beth Getz, the director of athletics at Iowa. I'm not sitting at Ball State without her. Current president at Ball State, President Jeffrey Mearns. The list goes on and on. I mentioned Troy, my position coach at Auburn, Joe Witt Sr., who I'm thankful for. It just goes on and on. There's so many people. I know I'm not mentioning everybody, but those people have certainly helped me with my foundation. Current director of athletics, just thinking about people, Dave Benedict at UConn. There's so many people that I'm thinking about right now that have just had a part in, you know, what you see today, that certainly have helped build me as a professional. And I'm grateful for them, because without any of them, again, I'm not sitting here as your chief operating officer serving Nebraska.
So, you know, through those relationships with those folks and just your career, what have you found are some of maybe the most important attributes and traits of good leaders?
Yeah, you know, I think first and foremost, people who are extremely honest, I think transparent with you, because there's going to come a time in your career where you need brutal honesty, and you have to have people around you that are not just telling you how great you are, but you have people around you challenging you, holding you accountable. And some of the people I mentioned have done that for me in my career. I call them my board of directors. There's a great book by Bob Bodine called The Power of Who. And in that book, he talks about a board of directors and having a network of people that you can count on But I think the honesty, I think people who are obviously have great integrity and character, people you can lean on that you know have your best interest and they're going to make the best decisions for the department. I think something else is it's great to be around competitors. It's great to be around people who want to compete and want to be the best in everything. You know, I mentioned the honesty earlier on. I think people who know how to serve and not just lead. I think sometimes as leaders we get in this place where we feel like we have to always be the one to make the decisions, but we've got to have people that we can serve and allow them opportunities to make decisions and be able to make recommendations as to why we're going in that direction. So those are some things that I will point to right away. And people that just know how to pull a department or pull an organization together in really difficult times. And I've seen all those things in people who I've worked with, worked for. And that's just the baseline. There's so many things that I can share. I talk a lot about being collaborative. I've been around some of the most collaborative leaders I've ever seen. And they've done it in a way where it's really helped campus, it's helped athletics. It's given us a chance to really have success as an institution. And those are some of the things that really excite me around the folks that I've been around and obviously in working with Troy today.
That's awesome. So, you know, in terms of leadership within athletics, not all of the leaders have had a college sports background. Some do, some don't. But how have you found that you playing football at Auburn and being a collegiate athlete at this level has helped also you in your leadership roles?
Yeah, you know, people often talk about organizations or departments wanting to hire former student athletes. You know, we're war ready, as I'll say, for anything. And when you come out, I think we're tapped in a way where we've been through so many things. There's adversity, there's success, there's so many things that we've been through. So, you know, obviously being a great teammate, being collaborative, as I mentioned earlier, knowing that when we're battle tested in some ways, we know how to deal with situations that may not be great. I point to, you know, I hate to talk about COVID. I hate to talk about the pandemic, but I was surrounded by some folks that were former student athletes, and it's great to be in a room where you know you're going to have people that know how to be collaborative, but also know how to challenge each other, having healthy debates for what's best for the department. And I think that comes natural to people that have competed at a really high level to be able to have those conversations about what they believe in, what their morals are, their values are. And so I point to some of those things and just knowing, again, you're going to have people who are thinking about the big picture because they've been put in so many different situations that they've got to find a way to make sure that the organization has success.
So one of your duties, you're going to be the sport administrator for football. You've already been, I know you dove in as soon as you got here, they were in the middle of spring football. What has it been like getting to know Coach Rule, his staff, and working with that group?
You know, he's such a great man, a man of culture. One of the most impressive things was, you know, when I sat down with him, he kind of laid out some of the things that his expectations were of me. And he's just looking for a partner like most coaches. You know, somebody he can lean on and have conversations with. But I have to tell this story. We had our first all-staff meeting of the year, my first week here, second week here. And his whole football staff came in. And the most impressive thing I had ever seen, you don't see it everywhere, is the entire football staff sat in the first two rows. Mm-hmm. You know, they're leaders on the campus. Obviously, they're influential, impactful in a lot of areas. And that's what leadership is, knowing that you're going to have somebody that you know, that not only sets the culture but embodies it and does all those things. And it was one of the most impressive things with him. He's certainly really organized. He knows what he wants. I think the plethora of experiences that he has at the collegiate level along with the professional level will certainly set us up for success. So close last year, and the amount of talent back, the number of starters back, we're certainly going to have a great year. So I look forward to the partnership with Coach Rule, Dr. Susan Elza, who I've gotten to know and spending time with as well, you know, and the entire staff. It's going to be great. He has developers. He has leaders, as well as coaches, all packaged into one. And it's certainly going to be great for our student athletes.
One of my favorite things that I've come to like the most about Coach Rule is how passionate and how much he cares about the programs, not just football here at Nebraska, and how he does want everybody to succeed, and he wants to do his part in helping. And you don't find that a lot of times in football coaches. So You know, from your perspective, how good is that for a program to have a football coach that does care and is invested in the programs outside of just his football team?
Yeah, as you and I know, both know, Jess, you know, they're one of the more popular faces in the state. And in this case, he is certainly the face of Nebraska football. So anytime he's out in the community, I'll start out with and work in with, anytime he's out in the community, anytime he's at another event that involves other sports, which I know that he does, anytime he's just walking around saying hello to other departments, the business office, facility staff, you know, that sets the tone for the department to know you've got one of your more influential people in the state, let alone the department, out in front connecting with others. It really allows for people to understand the importance of everybody being in this together. And he certainly does, and that's why he's going to have success on the field. He'll continue to have it off of it because he certainly sees the big picture as it relates to how we all are in it together and we're all working towards the same mission to obviously win championships, but to develop young people that are going to leave here and do amazing things outside of Nebraska.
So throughout all your career, your playing days, had you ever been inside this stadium before?
I had not. And I tell you, the greatest experience I had was I started working on a Wednesday. We had the spring game on a Saturday, watching 65,000 people float around this place at the spring game. It tells you everything you need to know about the support, not, again, for football in that moment, but about Nebraska. The first half, I'm on the field watching the game, doing what football guys do, trying to see what we have. And then the second half, I decided, you know, put my credential away and walk around like a fan. And, you know, I knew I was in a different place when I had a couple of people recognize me and walk up to me and shake my hand and give me some history on Nebraska and things I needed to know. Yes, I have tried Runza. I have tried, and I think it was pretty good. And so you know you're in a different place. So for me, that was just kind of a prelude to what I know I'm going to see as we get ready to start the football season.
Love that. Yeah. So, you know, you had talked earlier about the ever-changing landscape of college athletics, and there's just been some waves that have happened over the last couple of weeks. As you and Troy have been here and have been embedded with Nebraska, how do you feel about where Nebraska is set up to be able to move forward with how things are changing in collegiate athletics?
We certainly will be a trendsetter. We'll be able to lead in a way. I think that at the end of the day, everything continues to change in our landscape, but there's still one mission, and continue to provide an amazing experience for our student athletes. For where we sit, you know, obviously a member of the Big Ten, no different than the SEC in some ways, as far as preparation around what's coming with the settlement, knowing there's a revenue share model coming. We feel really good about where we are. We're going to be set up in a way where it's going to allow us to still recruit at the highest levels, not just for football and men's basketball, but across all of our sports. For our coaches trying to get the best in the nation, we feel really good about where we are today. Obviously, academically, our students are outstanding, so that side of it won't change. We'll continue to provide all the things that we need to make sure they're successful. But athletically, we'll just continue to enhance things, knowing that there's going to be a different model, more of a business model than we've ever seen in college athletics. But we certainly will be a trendsetter in that and be a leader as far as what we do with the changes in the landscape.
We had Coach Cook on the other night after he signed his contract extension and talked about his horse. But he had said, he had brought up something with Troy about how even as coaches, they're like, what's going on? Maybe confused a little bit. And Troy's always good about, hey, this is where we're at, and just communicating and making sure that coaches are aware and understanding of just everything. How do you guys, as the leaders of this department, stay up to date on all of that and make sure that you are knowledgeable enough to be able to communicate that to not only coaches but an athletic staff?
Yeah, you know, it starts with a lot of reading, a lot of things that you read. I start my day by reading a D1 ticker, and then I'm also communicating with other folks across the country on thoughts and things that they're doing, is just bounce ideas off each other around where you are versus us, similar size institutions, maybe some smaller, some larger, just in the sense of what we have to look forward to. But I think it all starts with just knowing that the transparency that we're providing, aside from just us staying up on it, the transparency we're providing to our coaches, probably the most important. But I think it's just a lot of research, a lot of reading. And then it's not just that. I think internally communicating with Troy, communicating with Seth Dorsey, our new chief financial officers, as well as our leadership team on things that everyone's hearing so we can just stay at the forefront of what we need to be preparing for. I think you have to be as anticipatory as possible, and that means sharing things with coaches ahead of time when we can. But a lot of research, a lot of reading at the baseline of it all to make sure that as things come up, we're able to maybe send out a text to coaches and just say, hey, you need to be thoughtful of this, or maybe to some of the staff I work with. When things come up around this new landscape, I think it's just sharing it. Not that we need to stay knowledgeable, but it's everyone in the department needs to be knowledgeable of what's taking place, because at any given time we can all be asked our thoughts and we'd all have opinions and we all need to understand what we're doing here in Nebraska moving forward together. So
I think that's just, you know, the questions that we get and I get asked and you know, on this program, and it's just the uncertainty moving forward. But you guys, as you've settled in here, feel really good about where Nebraska is to move forward in this thing.
We really do. You know, without getting in a ton of depth, what I will tell you is I know there's a lot of people across the country that are really concerned about their situations and just having conversations with others. But as I mentioned earlier, related to what we're going to be able to do to make sure that we're taking care of our student athletes financially, providing them a great experience, again, from a competitive standpoint, and then also socially within the community, we feel really good about those categories. And just knowing that a lot of this is going to be driven by revenue, really as it relates to tickets, as it relates to sponsorships, as it relates to TV distributions. We understand all those things. And because we've been financially responsible, you know, not just us, but the leaders on campus, obviously a new president-elect and President Gold, Chris Kaborik, has been instrumental. And Troy, again, as the leader of our department, in those discussions at the highest level, and again, internally, we're in a really good place to be able to provide what we need to for our current student-athletes and the perspectives that we'll be looking at Nebraska as well.
Well, I know you're just settling in and getting to know everybody, but one of the things you're kind of overseeing is the marketing department as well. You're getting to know those guys, and they just had a really special honor. They're a finalist for one of the marketing teams of the year, Alex Harris and his team. I know Brandon Meyer, big involved with that as well. But how cool is that to see that you're getting here and you got some of the best that you're getting to work with in the marketing team?
I'm already learning so much from both those guys. You mentioned Brandon Meyer, and we've had several meetings, and he's been great to start. I know you have a relationship with him as well. Obviously, Alex Harris, I've heard his name several times even before I got here, and has done an outstanding job. You know, you start thinking about what happened at Nebraska here with volleyball, 92,000, you know, three people in you know, in the stadium for a volleyball game, tells you everything you need to know again about this city. About the support for our volleyball program, sports, and you start thinking about the light shows and the different things that they're doing to enhance the experience for our fans. It's so important, and I'm so excited for them. And obviously, my alma mater is a finalist, but I'm yelling GBR as I tweeted yesterday to everybody. You know that Nebraska, you know, has the opportunity to take that NACMA Marketing Award of the Year home, and really excited for them. The progression we have, and know there's more to come for the upcoming athletics year. And so want to congratulate them on the success they've had with I know more to come as well.
So again, Nebraska Athletics, a finalist for the NACMA Marketing Team of the Year Award. How important is that? Not just, you know, when you talk about competing for titles and all of that, the recognition for the sports on the sporting field, but for the teams within the team to be able to also set the standard in that way.
It's great. You know, there's two things that we're measuring. You know, we talk about what's going to help us continue to win games and be more competitive, and what's going to continue to help us set the standard, you know, across the country. Well, what they're doing from a marketing perspective, again, is setting the standard across not only what we're doing here in Lincoln, but it's also setting the standard for what others may be doing across the country, again, as a finalist. And I think for our other teams and seeing the things that we're trying to do to enhance the experience of fans, to enhance their experience around contests or events, tells you everything you need to know. And I think it continues to catapult us in a way where we get fans excited, we get our student athletes excited, and that creates an electric environment for performance, for the ability for people to have a really good time, and obviously, again, for us to have success, you know, maybe when that event comes to an end or that contest, that maybe we have a victory. And so, again, it just continues to provide opportunities for us in a way to continue to, again, for people to see the end in a way that they do, to know that we're well-rounded, not only of what we're doing on the field, but what we're doing off of it in our department.
You've been in several athletics facilities. You've been around the country. What was your reaction when you walked through that new building that we're sitting just over to the side of when you got to take that in for the first time?
Well, Jess, I'm a talker. I was speechless. you start to think about the facilities that you've seen. You start to think about you start to think about the things that are in those facilities, the amenities, and what you have seen in other places. And I can tell you right now the number of facilities I've seen. There's nothing that would top, you know, this Osborne Legacy Complex. Not even close. As I walked around the facility for the first time, and as we finalize things, it's easy to see why, again, you're going to be able to have success in the future for football. That coach is going to be able to recruit student athletes. And not only Coach Rule, but all of our coaches, because there's obviously a component tied to all our student athletes on the second floor with the academic center and compliance and our life skills, and, you know, the training table, the dining hall area. It is literally one of the best facilities in the country, not just the best football facility, but certainly one of the best in the country. And it has everything. It was laid out well, just the flow of it all, the structure, and just laying things out for our student athletes to be able to move around the facility. So just outstanding.
Okay, so you're getting settled in, you're getting to know everybody, you're getting to know your surroundings. What's next for you? What are you hoping to kind of, I guess, accomplish here in the next short term and then long term here at Nebraska?
Yeah, so I've, you know, the last month has been a lot of fun. I've been having a lot of meetings with head coaches, leadership team members, some of the staff that oversees units, and it's been a lot of fun. But, you know, I've also had to do some things, as I share with you all fair. I've seen, probably looked at 25 houses, finally got a house. I think the most important thing for me personally, though, is that I get my family here. My wife, Dr. Maya Fields, my son, Haven Jr., and Hendrix. I've got to get them to Lincoln, which they're coming over the next month or so. And we'll be making our final move in July. I've got some conferences and things that I have to attend. But moving forward, I'm still going to have some meetings. There's some things we've got to continue to be thinking about as a department, and again, helping Troy run the day-to-day behind the scenes and trying to lighten his plate. There's still more to come as far as what we do to get ready for the upcoming fall. It's going to be an electric one. Really excited about what's to come. You know, again, I'm just really excited, really humble to be in this role and to be a Cornhusker. So, yeah, just exciting times ahead.
Last thing I got for you, I always like to ask this here on the podcast, but for maybe a young student athlete, a young person that might be looking to get and might be interested in getting into athletics administration, what advice would you give and maybe some of those young folks that might be starting their career or might be wanting to maybe look into it?
Yeah, you know, that's great. I would say the baseline of it all, you know, to build really genuine relationships. You know, I always like to tell people I'm not the smartest guy. I'm not going to wow everybody when I walk in the room. But what I am going to do is understand the people that I'm in front of, and I'm going to build really genuine relationships. I'm going to connect with people in a way where it's genuine for them to understand that it's not in that moment, but I want to continue to make sure that I get to know them. And those have carried me throughout my career. I think it's really important to also be able to, as a young professional, be the best at the job that you have in that moment to get the jobs that you want in the future. I think often we have younger professionals that at time to time they want to jump after a year or two. And it's no different than in the NFL, Division I, II, or III. I feel like if you're really talented, people are going to find you. People are going to be talking in rooms on your behalf because they see something special in you. I often like to joke that my career has progressed in a way where, I was that guy that was not invited to the combine. And someone decided to take a look at me because I did something with an industry and they thought, well, hey, well, he wasn't invited to the combine, but we might need to take a closer look at him. And there might be something else. And then there was another opportunity and then another opportunity. And that was just because I worked. It's about the work. And I think it's about the building the relationships. I think it's about being great at the job you have, just because I think people notice those things, right? We're in an industry that's ever changing, but the one thing that does not change is genuine relationships. And I think those can carry you if you're diligent, if you're honest, and if you're willing to just take the time to build them.
Great advice. Great conversation. Thank you so much. It's great to get to know you a little bit more, and we'll look forward to working much more with you in the future.
Thank you so much for having me, Jess. Go Big Red.
Yes, you got it in there. And that is Haven Fields, the Deputy Athletic Director and Chief Operating Officer here with Nebraska Athletics. Thanks for listening and watching this episode of the Huskers Radio Network podcast. As always, make sure you subscribe and like wherever you listen to never miss an episode right here on the Huskers Radio Network podcast.